All right, welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ Chance. We live. We're about to discuss some politics, man. Everything is up on Facebook Live and YouTube and everything else. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in to us on Facebook Live and on YouTube as well. All right, outstanding. So let's jump into these topics, man. We got a couple of topics we want to discuss. But the very first thing I wanted to talk about here, bro, and this is something that I just saw. It just popped up. It was Michael Cohen's business partner agrees to cooperate as part of plea deal. This is something that came out of the New York Times. So a significant business partner of Michael D. Cohen, President Trump's personal lawyer and fixer, has quietly agreed to cooperate with the government as a potential witness, a development that could be used as leverage to presume Mr. Cohen to pressure Mr. Cohen to work with special counsel examining Russia interference in a 2016 presidential election. Under the agreement, the partner, Evgeny, forgive me if I'm saying that wrong, A. Friedman, a Russian immigrant who is known as the Taxi King, will avoid jail time and will assist government prosecutors in state or federal investigations, according to a person briefed on the matter. Mr. Cohen's conduct was initially examined by Robert S. Mueller III, special counsel investigating the 2016 election that led to Mr. Trump's victory, and then referred to the United States Attorney's Office in Manhattan. Last month, federal agents carried out search warrants at Mr. Cohen's home, his office, and hotel room where he was staying, seeking documents related to his business associates and accountants. That's just a little snippet that I decided to read. Chance, after hearing that, man, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm all for the impeachment. I think this is a nail in the coffin. I think impeachment is inevitable at this point. And House Republicans are trying to decide how they're going to rally behind their guy that they've ignored everything else on and protect themselves at the same time for 2018 elections.
Yeah. And so, you know, after I initially read that, you know, and I'm listening to you, and there's so many nails in the coffin, you know, but I'm waiting for that final nail. That's what I'm holding on to. I want that final nail, because right now we're just nailing him in there, and it's shut. But there's still light. He's still breathing. There's still light. You know what I mean? Everything is still fresh. But that's huge when the lawyer of the lawyer, essentially, is like, look, I don't want to go to jail. What y'all need from me? That's basically what the man is saying. What's that?
He's like, I'm not built for American jail.
Mm-mm. I'm not built for American jail. I'm 6 foot 270, 260. I'm not built for American jail. Okay? I'm going to keep it all the way 100 with you. I am not built. I am a boy, Damon. Okay? Let's go ahead and say. No, can't go to jail. No. What you need from me, son? I got you. I will make some stuff up. But anyways, I'm keeping it 100, man. I'm not going to jail, dude. You can kiss my ass in the middle. I'm not. I get it. When people be like, oh, you know, I'm willing to go down. I'm like, you lost your mind? What you need from me? What you need? Huh? What you need?
They don't realize how true that statement is. If you're willing to go down for somebody, you got to be willing to go down for somebody in prison.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, again, I'm not the one either, bro. So, I get it. You know, when all these, like Michael Flynn and all them, and everyone was talking bad about him, I'm like, look, he's doing the responsible thing. They're trying to avoid jail time. Nobody wants to go to jail. If you want to go to jail, then, hey, man, shut up and let them do it. But me, no. I don't want to go to jail. So I get what this attorney, this friend of the attorney is doing. If there is some actual evidence that can help with further the investigation, I'm all for it. But if this is another smokescreen, which is what it could be, right? Because we've seen a lot of stuff come out. But there's also been a lot of information that has come out that's actually been pertinent to the investigation. That's why it kills me when people are literally like, "Well, there's nothing there. There's nothing there." But there's investigations. This is what I want to compare it to. And Chance, give me just a quick minute here. This is what I want to compare it to. The Benghazi thing. It was what, 3 separate hearings that cost how many millions of dollars, right? And ended up being nothing, right? There was nothing there. All the evidence was laid out. Nothing was there, right? But this here investigation is showing that there is something that was going on. Something was going on. Something's there. But the opposition is saying, the Republican side is like, oh, there's nothing there. There's no comparison. There's no collusion. There's no none of this. And I'm just like, no, that is not how any of this works. You have to let this man do his investigation. He's been doing his investigation, I'm not quite sure. It's been, over a year now? He's on this investigation, and he's uncovered so much stuff. All the people that have said, you know what, I'm going to avoid jail time, I'll plead guilty and give you whatever you want. Those people are literally, those are the pieces. So as long as, to me, as long as he keeps lining these pieces up, then I'm like, hey, let him go. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, another difference between, I like that analogy, that comparison between Benghazi and the Mueller investigation. You know, during Benghazi, there's no one that pleaded guilty to any crime. But in this investigation, you have indictments and people pleading guilty to crimes. So, and to say that there's nothing there, I go back to, you know, Benghazi. Now, when does a Secretary of State have operational control over U.S. military forces? The answer is never. So the fact that people are blaming the Secretary of State for lack of Department of Defense action, it's totally misguided, misplaced, and you guys don't know how the military, the government works. You want to blame somebody? That goes to SecDef and POTUS. So that's where that goes.
Okay. Yeah, man. I don't want to beat this one up too much. You know, I just want to throw that in there real quick because, again, this investigation started, why? Because one guy opened his mouth to the right person. This wasn't a witch hunt. They didn't just magically open this investigation up and be like, oh, we think there was collusion between Russia and the Trump administration or then candidate Trump and his potential administration. No, there was evidence that said this is what's going on. You may not like how it started, but it started. There it is. All right.
Yeah, and it's not.
Oh, go ahead.
It's not like a sore loser thing where, you know, people that don't like Trump are making something up because we don't like the knucklehead that's in office. I didn't like Bush, but I never thought for 1 minute, 1 second, that he was a traitor to the country.
Mm-hmm.
That was never the case. Trump, on the other hand, I have no doubt that he's a traitor to the country, and his impeachment will bear that out.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, bro. I agree. All right, so speaking of investigations and things like that, let's talk about these topics that we already had kind of agreed upon here. So let's roll right into this. Let's talk about the Trump spying claim first. Now, this is how I feel about this. I actually had to do some digging. Right? I really do. Like, when I see stuff like this, I automatically start looking up, go to Google and start looking up stuff. Okay, so apparently, it's pretty standard to have an informant, if you will, in each administration. So basically, so the government knows what's going on with each major party. I'm not sure if they do it for the Green Party and all that stuff, but apparently there's always an informant within each party, right? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. But what I am saying is, if it's been done for this long, what gives Trump the right to complain about this? If this is standard practice, right? I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying if it's standard practice, what gives him the right to complain? That's what I want to know. So what are your thoughts about that?
You know, they named the guy. He's been on, he served 3 Republican administrations. And the crazy thing is, they know who the informant is. He's worked under 3 Republican administrations going back to Nixon, and he worked for Nixon, Ford, and Reagan, and now he's an informant looking in at the Trump campaign. Trump's upset, probably because you know he's not acting like an innocent man, and he's trying to build enough muddy the waters enough to hopefully avoid prosecution and impeachment. And I don't think that's going to happen. What I hope that goes along with his prosecution and impeachment is the removal of Mike Pence, because that dude is worse than Trump.
Okay, so that was going to be my question to you, man. You know, even let's just say President Trump is like, you know what? The writing's on the wall. It's going to happen bad for me one way or the other. Let's say he just steps down. He resigns. Pence takes over. Is there any legal ground that we have to actually remove Pence? Is there any legal ground? Or does the administration have to be impeached to remove Pence as well? See, that I don't know.
So the impeachment would have to be, well, it depends on what Mueller finds. If Trump is involved with crimes, it's hard to believe that Pence didn't know about any collusion as well. So I would assume that he would step down as well. So he would probably resign to avoid impeachment and possible prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is a lot of the damage has already been done. We'd get a new, whoever the Speaker of the House is would take over as president and so on down the line. There's an order of succession in case something like that happens.
Yeah. I'm just hoping Nancy Pelosi is not the one that takes over. I'm just kind of over her at this point.
I don't want Pelosi. I definitely don't want, no one in there. You know, don't want Mitch McConnell or not Mitch McConnell. Who's the other dude that's retiring? I forget his name now.
Paul Ryan,
yes, thank you. You know, imagine Paul Ryan. Hopefully the House flips. We nominate a new speaker, and that new speaker will be will become president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. For the next 2 years or so.
Yeah.
You know, and long as I like I said, I hope it's just not Pelosi. That's Pelosi and Ryan and
Pelosi
McConnell.
Said it, so she won't be. She won't be.
Oh, that okay, correct. But she's running for. She wants Speaker of the House again, though.
She won't get. Nancy Pelosi will not get a speakership again.
I hope not.
If the Democrats do that, they're shooting themselves in the foot. There's too much new talent that can get stuff done. That doesn't that she just needs to go. There's too many people out of there.
I feel the same way. There's too much new talent, and there's too many new people here that can get in there and do this. Hey, Chance, give me 1 second, bro. Village, give me 1 second here. You guys are going to get some silence here, and I'm going to just shut that down. 1 second.
I misspoke, by the way. I said, make that correction now. I said Nancy Pelosi was in the Senate. That is incorrect. She is in the House. But I don't think she will get that seat. That's my correction.
All right, Village. So, yeah.
Yeah, I made a correction while you were gone.
Okay, what'd you say?
I'd said that Nancy Pelosi was in the Senate, and that's incorrect. She is in the House.
She's in the House, yeah. Which is why she can Speaker of the House, yeah. Okay,
but
man.
I'm thinking that she's not going to get it. All right, so let's move on.
Yeah. All right, Village. Sorry about that long pause. I had to correct animals and two-legged people at the same time here. All right, so let's move on here to this last topic, bro. This last one here. School shootings. We had another school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. Here's my issue with this. If we're not willing or not even trying to address gun issues, can we discuss guns and mental health from a political aspect? Can we get the funding for mental health? Because at this point, you know, something has to be done, because these kids are like, I don't want to go to school. And there's more and more parents that are like, look, this homeschooling option is looking a lot better, right? I had a friend today. She's a military spouse. She's prior service herself. She put on Facebook how this is the first time that her daughter has attended school in the States. And she says they had a school lockdown today because there was some idiot walking down the street with a gun and they couldn't identify. So they locked the school down. Her daughter has only been to school overseas. You know, where the countries they visited. I'm not going to get into that. That's, you know, I know where she's been. But what I'm saying in all this to say, she's been going to school out of the country for all these years. Never had any issues. Come back to the States. The first year she attends a public high school in the States. And now she has and there's an issue. So we got to figure out mental health. If people don't want to give up their guns, that's fine. I'm not asking you to give up your guns. But now at this point, the government's got to step in and do something as far as mental health. That is the only way this is going to work anymore, man. What are your thoughts?
I don't think that's going to happen either. You know, one of the first things that Trump did was remove the barrier for people with mental health issues getting firearms. That was one of the first things he did. I mean, of all the priorities you have, that's number... That ranks up there in the top 10, huh?
Yeah. Crazy.
I think it's really going to turn into a states issue. And I think when people start leaving states and states start losing revenue in their public school districts because people are pulling their kids out and homeschooling while other states are expanding theirs because they're going to, you know, states like California, you know, a lot of the eastern states, they're getting really strict, making really strict laws on guns, the type of guns you can own and the type of guns you can carry around. And if you look, those states have fewer incidences of gun violence and of school shootings. So,
you know, I get it. You know, everyone's like, look, this is my right and this, that, and the third. And I'm all about it. I'm about it, man. Look, I don't want to take your right. But rights versus people dying, right? Laws are enacted to protect the minority. That's what these laws come from, right? If you really think about the history of law. You know, the majority. Think about the civil rights movement. Nobody wanted to have our rights, right? We were the minority. We fought, got our rights. We protect the minority. Right now, the people that are being killed are these innocent kids. They are the minority. They can't even vote, right? And people are saying they don't have a right to speak about this. Well, their classmates are being gunned down. So I believe that they do have the right to say something. Now, do they have the legal right to vote? No, they don't. I understand that. You have to be 18 to vote. But what the bigger issue is we have these young people that are like, yo, I am being affected by this. Can you do something? And me as an adult, I'm like, look, people don't want to have these guns taken away. They will fight tooth and nail to keep their guns, and that's that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But can we do something about mental health in this country? Right? If we're not going to address the guns, let's address the mental health. Let's figure that part out. So that's what I got from that, man. Like, we have to address the mental health. You know, it's ugly. It's ugly.
You know, we do need to address the mental health issue. The other issue I have is, we need to start looking at domestic terrorism again, because how many white males with neo-Nazi propaganda, guns, and all kinds of stuff along that vein have committed shootings now? And why aren't they being watched? You know, these guys need to be surveilled because they are going out shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not BLM. It's not bikers. It's not the Muslims that just flew in for vacation. No. It is the mentally unstable and or hateful white supremacist. And this is what we got. That's the reality of it. You know, people talk about, look at all the people who get shot in Chicago. How many people are going to get shot and killed in public schools?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. How quickly do you think this would change if one shooter was a black male?
Oh, it'd be a different narrative. It would be a completely different narrative, everything. This is what irks my soul, right? I read through the early reports about the Santa Fe shooter, and on this show, we didn't give no pub. I'm not going to say his name other than maybe call him an asshole, right? But it's amazing how the narratives are so different. We look at these individuals and we're just like, he was such a quiet kid and you know, he kind of kept to himself and, you know, he was into his video games. And the minute I hear something like that, my mind automatically goes, oh, he's white.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm literally pre-programmed to think that. As soon as I hear, he was quiet and, you know, he was, you know, going to church every Sunday, I'm like, oh, it was a white kid.
Right.
Right? But the minute I hear, oh, he had run-ins with the law, he got busted for having two joints on him in 2009. Okay, oh, it's a black dude. Person of color.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need to get rid of that.
You know, they don't mention his neo-Nazi propaganda on his webpage. You know, they don't talk about that. They don't talk about him posing with different firearms. They don't talk about that. And to the gun rights advocates, I'm not about taking away your right to bear to own a gun. I just don't think you get to carry it around. If you own it, you need to have it licensed. You need to be insured. And, you know, you need to go through some kind of training class, something, if you're going to own that gun. You can't do private party sales without having background checks done.
That's another thing. We need to close that loophole. That needs to be closed.
If a gun is stolen, it has to be reported stolen within some reasonable amount of time, like a number of hours. Not guys talking about, oh, yeah, well, my arsenal was stolen 20 years ago. I don't know what happened to it. You know, while you're subtly funneling guns for cash out to anybody and anybody with cash. You know, that loophole needs to be closed. You can't sell a car without reporting it, because if somebody gets in an accident with it, you're liable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't treat guns that way. And it just, that doesn't make any sense. So that's not a way to take your gun away. That's just to make you responsible for owning it. If you're responsible, you know, at least have the same responsibility for a firearm as you would have for a car. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. There's so much that can be done, that can be said. You know, I think at this point, man, this is, every time I hear about an incident involving a gun, all I think is, you know what? Let's address the mental health issue at this point. Because we're not going to get rid of, we're not going to get rid of the gun. People are not going to say, "Oh, I'm willing to give this up." The masses won't, right? The NRA is going to fight tooth and nail to keep these rights, right? And those are the gun lobbyists. And if you don't think that's real, please miss me with that. They're pumping money into these Republican parties. Why? Because they know that that's where their base is. Right. Mm-hmm. Me being a liberal. Right. I try not to say I claim being a Democrat. I'm a liberal. There are liberal policies I believe in. Right. And there are also some conservative policies that I believe in that I think are good as well. But let's not go there right now. But what I'm saying is, we have to address this from a mental health perspective now, because number one, there are too many people that have access to guns. Right. And they shouldn't have access to them. So maybe we need to look at it from that perspective. You know, I don't know what else to say or even think about this, because I don't want to have to get that phone call. You know, your son's school is being locked down because there's an active shooter, right? I've already gotten a phone call where you need to come pick your child up. The kids had to escape through the back gate to another place because there was a guy walking around on campus with a shotgun, right? And if you guys don't know about that, I don't want to give the name of my child's school, but there was a man with a shotgun on my son's campus. My 10-year-old and my 6-year-old, I pick up my 6-year-old, he's crying tears. This is not how we're supposed to do things. We're not supposed to argue about this. We're literally taking the safety of our children and we're saying, well, you know, I mean, it's not the gun's fault. I get it. It's not the gun's fault. It's the people firing the gun. But what do we do to prevent that? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because until this affects one of these great politicians' kids where their schools are shot up or something like that, we're not going to see any change. We're not going to see it. The average person doesn't need a damn AR-15. I'm sorry. If you think for 1 minute that you and your militia group can take on a SEAL team, I got some real estate to sell you in Nevada that is beachfront property. I need you guys to understand that.
Well, you know, just consider this for a moment. Reagan didn't put forth the Brady Bill until after he was shot.
Mm.
And they put a sunset clause in there because they figured that attitudes would change over time and they could go back to business as usual. But while he was alive, he wasn't going to get shot anymore, you know. So they put forth the Brady Bill. And, you know, that's what it takes for these guys. Is they have to experience it themselves for them to, which is a shame that that's what it takes to do some common sense legislation. You know, we're not talking gun confiscations and all this. You know, I think buybacks are a good idea.
I think so, too.
They get a lot of loose firearms that could potentially make it into the black market off the street. You know, you're just reducing. You're not eliminating the supply. You're just reducing it. You know, no one's saying that any of this legislation is going to, the common sense legislation is going to end gun violence. But what you can do is you can eliminate some of the low-hanging fruit, some of the stuff that's preventable. You know, you're not going to stop it all. You know, 10,000-plus people killed with guns. But if instituting a gun buyback saves 100 people, damn, that was worth it. If not letting people that are adjudicated mentally insane buy guns saves 5 people, damn, that was worth it. You know, and you just keep chipping away at it. You know, if you got to have insurance on that gun, you know, and that saves more people, you know, do what you can to save as many as you can without necessarily infringing upon somebody else's rights. You know, those guys out in Wyoming, yeah, it makes sense to have a gun. You know, middle of Montana, makes sense. You know, but there's other places where it just doesn't, and we need to reconcile that as a country.
Yeah, and so until both sides can literally say, you know what, okay, let's take a piece of what you want to do, let's take a piece of what I want to do, and let's see if we can fit in the middle. We got to figure this out. We've got to figure this out. Kids are literally like, there was one young lady after the Santa Fe shooting, she said, yeah, she said, I knew it was bound to happen eventually. I'm like, what? Like, they interviewed her, and she said, yeah, I knew it was bound to happen. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but she's like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. It was bound to happen. I'm like, what kind of shit is that? Chance, you got a couple of years on me, right? Yeah. The biggest thing you had to worry about in school was a little bit of a fight, a skirmish, right? Stuff like that. Same for me. You know, we had one gang fight when I was a kid. One. And they shut that down so quick. I never in my wildest, craziest thoughts said, man, I got to worry about, man, is there going to be a shooter coming on my school today and gun us down? I never thought about that.
You know, that school grounds was kind of like sacrosanct. You know, that was like you didn't do that. You know, the gym teacher was going to kick your ass if you showed up with a gun. I grew up, you know, in the D.C. area during the crack epidemic. And you still, certain things you just didn't do. Yeah, there were some fights, lots of fights. But, you know, you didn't get, and I did not go to, I went to a very diverse school. There was all kinds of fighting, but yeah, I didn't know. I never worried about getting shot. We didn't have to have lockdown drills. We had regular old fire drills. It's just crazy.
It's bad, man.
The children should be disappointed in us. Oh. Ashamed of ourselves.
Big. That's a huge statement, Chance. Chance, that's a huge statement. That's huge. Our children should be disappointed in us. That's a huge statement.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to protect them.
Right.
We're supposed to be the responsible ones, the smart ones. Yeah. Uh-huh. Huge. I didn't even think about that. Our kids are, 20 years from now, when our kids are running things, they're going to look back at this point in history and they're going to ask the question, why?
Yeah. Why couldn't they get it done?
Why? I'm trying to tell you, that's what's going to happen. So, anyways, Village, that's our show for today. We discussed Michael Cohen's lawyer or friend flipping for no jail time. We've also discussed Trump's claims about people spying on him during his administration. And we've also talked about the Santa Fe shooting, not from a shooting perspective, but from a political perspective of, can we do something as far as legislation for mental health? We have to get it done. So, Chance, my brother, how do people get a hold of you?
You guys can reach me at Chance W. Brown on Twitter. You can find me at Chance.Brown1 on Facebook. And you'll see me lurking around on the Welcome to the Village page from time to time as well.
That's right. All right, Village, you want to get a hold of me? I am very easy to get a hold of. I am at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You guys can check out the show on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, and Tumblr by searching Welcome to the Village. Crowdcast replays can be seen on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, Tumblr, and Google Plus by searching Welcome to the Village. Google phone 619-202-1562. Email welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website welcometothevillage.wixsite.com/website. Village, if you simply subscribe to our Crowdcast channel, go to crowdcast.io, create an account, subscribe to The Village, you'll be notified every time we go live, and you guys can come in and join us, man, and get active with us. We got a couple of comments here from, I think somebody you may know, Rob Graham. Earlier he put a "Greed Gentleman." I'm assuming it has something to do with the gun debate. And then also he put "Great work. Thanks, fellas." I said, all right, appreciate that. All right. So,
what's up, Rob?
Yeah. He just clicked out too. He just clicked out of the, Facebook Live. All right. So advertising is still working on that. You guys got to remember, we are both working men. So we basically put in the time. Chance puts in his time and helps me whenever he can. And, we get after it. But the Etsy page is, go to Etsy and type in W2TV and go from there. Chance, my brother, great show as usual. Appreciate you. And Village, that's our time for the day. And as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night. Bye, everybody.
You rocking with The Village. You rocking with The Village. You rocking with The Village. You rocking with The Get it.